From the good life in Lincoln, Nebraska, this is the Stop Chasing, Start Living show, where together we dig into the world of faith and finances to discover how God wants so much more for us than we could ever ask or imagine. I'm your host, Scott Ernstmeyer, so let's start living. I'd like to welcome our listeners back to the Stop Chasing, Start Living show. My name is Scott Ernstmeyer, and I have the joy and privilege of serving as your host for this show. And if you were with us last time, we had a chance to have a conversation with Nathan Mueller. Nathan has been such a blessing in a couple different churches around town where he's led some Financial Peace University courses, and we dug into, you know, what does it mean to have some discipline and some good strategies around budgeting, why that matters, how it can help you really feel like you're leveraging all the resources God's provided you. And so really appreciated that opportunity to chat with Nathan. And today I'm super excited to have the opportunity to dig into community and what it means when a community comes together on a project or a variety of projects, and when that community supports that project, just how much can be accomplished through those efforts. And so I'm excited today to be joined by Tracy Edgerton. She is the president and CEO of the Lincoln Community Foundation. I got to know Tracy about a year and a half ago, jumped into a certification course called a Chartered Advisor in Philanthropy. Really, it's a course that helps you lean in and learn and discover what it's like to sit down with a family, a giver, and dig into their interests, their passions, and just listen, and then walk with them as they really tried to leverage their philanthropy and make a difference into the world. And so that was a fun class. And in the middle of that class, Tracy decided she'd, you know, take over as the president of the Lincoln Community Foundation. So her world changed, and she kind of had to even adjust a little bit her time in that class. But I'm excited, you know, Tracy's a trained attorney. She's been in this space of giving and philanthropy a long time in this community in a couple different roles. And so welcome, Tracy. Thanks for being with us on the show today. And I will start off by having you just share a little bit with the listeners about kind of your background professionally and personally.
Sure. Thank you so much, Scott. It's truly a delight to be with you and to reconnect our time together earlier. And I'm really grateful for this chance to talk with you and share a little bit about myself and about the work of the Community Foundation. And frankly, how that story of community really relates to folks who are trying to make a difference in the world. You know, if we can do that in our own backyards, in our own homes, create community with those around us, it makes it more important. It makes it more compelling. And I think that it allows us to see the power of giving together. And it's really one of the things that has brought me to this work over the years. That's for sure.
That's awesome.
So for me, I'm Lincoln has been my home now for about 25 years. Prior to that, I was born and raised in Omaha. My 95-year-old mother continues to live in the small home in eastern Omaha that I grew up in.
Oh, that's fun.
So it's nice to get back there and check on her every once in a while. But I would say that most of my career, although I am an attorney by education, I've spent most of my career in philanthropy, helping folks consider what's important to them, how they can use their resources to make a difference for those things that are important, and add value into the community. And working with people to connect, to make those connections has really been an inspiring way to make a living.
That's awesome.
Yeah, good stuff.
So as generally when I bring somebody on the show, I think one of the best places to start, and I appreciated the fact that I went to not only a conference where this question and was framed in this way, but I think even as we went through our chartered advisors and philanthropy coursework, it's really important to understand your own money story and your own, almost your own biases in that space as you work with people. You might share a little bit about kind of your background, maybe how you've been influenced, just with what you've learned over the years in terms of how you approach working with people, how you approach it yourself in terms of philanthropy and giving and those kinds of things.
Sure. No, it's kind of fun to reflect on, you know, the path that brought us to where we are today. You know, I grew up in a very working class family. My dad worked shift work at Omaha Public Power District. Okay. He was often gone in the evenings. But what was always most important was, and what I saw my parents do every week was give to their church.
Oh, wow, yes.
And so certainly we attended Bethel Lutheran Church at 45th and Poppleton in Omaha.
Awesome.
And so my first memories of family giving was seeing them put that check, put that envelope into what was being passed around every week. And then my own personal first memory of giving and wanting to think about the world outside of my worldview was walking around the neighborhood with a jar in my hands, collecting money for the muscular dystrophy telethon that was every Labor Day, the Jerry Lewis telethon. Mm-hmm. And I have a very strong memory of thinking that is what I wanted to do. And I wanted to go hand in my nickels and my dimes to support that. And what that shows me now, looking back and how that has brought me to where we are today, is it really isn't about the size of the contribution, big or small dollars, what our capacity is, where we're at in that moment. It all matters.
Right.
And it's what we can do collectively that can really improve the lives of those folks who are around us.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. I can just envision you walking around that neighborhood. That's pretty fun.
It was a nice thing to reflect on. That's for sure.
Well, it would be great, I think, for our listeners too. I'm sure we have some that are fairly familiar with the Lincoln Community Foundation. But I think it would be great if you even took a little bit of time to reset, you know, what the LCF does within Lincoln, how you view the impact it has on this community.
Sure. You know, I see Lincoln Community Foundation as truly a connector. Mm-hmm. We were started in 1955 as a way for folks to give back to the community and ensure that their resources were going to be present for the next generation. You know, one of the challenges in giving strategically and giving intentionally is we don't know what the future holds.
Right.
We don't know what those resources or needs are going to be 25 years from now. And so a place like the Community Foundation that always has community at the center can ensure that those resources are distributed in a way that makes sense for what the community needs in the moment, while also always honoring donor intent.
Right.
Making sure that we understand what the person who gave those resources, what their passion was, and staying connected to both donor intentions, but also the needs and the opportunities within the community.
That's awesome.
So we're really about philanthropy, a home for charitable giving focused on Lincoln and Lancaster County. So that really is where we are a place-based organization focused right here at home. But we also really invest in data. Mm-hmm. In the last 10 years, we have worked with other community leaders, other funders, to pull data together in a place that we've called Lincoln Vital Signs. Mm-hmm. And we now have 10 years worth of data that shows us where we're really excelling, where we're doing really well for the folks in our community, and where certain resources might be really helpful in helping new opportunities and new needs as they arise. And that data has helped us be very intentional about the resources that we have discretion over, how we can direct them in the way that will help the community the most.
Referencing those vital signs, what are the areas in Lincoln that the Community Foundation has, you know, in the past couple of years said, you know, we really feel like we need to lean into this space or these spaces? What are some of the priorities there?
Great question, Scott, and I really appreciate the chance to elaborate on that a little bit. There's a couple of things that have really rose to the forefront right now. First and foremost, early childhood, all things early childhood, including education. But we really want to ensure that every kiddo in our community has the opportunity to flourish educationally, socially, physically, emotionally, and ensure that they have the things that they need in order to be ready to hit the ground running when they're ready to go to school. And we certainly have a lot of information about how challenging it is for families to afford quality of quality early care and education. Yeah. And so we're really doing a lot of work in that area to ensure that we can not only looking at opportunities to help people in the moment, but look at the system overall mm-hmm. and what we can do to improve that long-term. Housing is a second area okay. where there's a lot of opportunities to look at the spectrum of housing mm-hmm. and the need for housing all along that spectrum, affordable housing, middle-income housing, more market rate housing as well. We have some real challenges to make sure our working families mm-hmm. can afford housing that will support their family.
Yeah, absolutely. And it, as a ministry here at Messiah that has a branch in the early childhood space, I know we almost feel compression every time we see a child care center close in this community, just knowing that, you know, we immediately get reached out to, do you have space? And we're blessed to have more than 200 kids on this campus. But what that means is we're at capacity and it's hard to help families.
That's right.
When they find their way into that need.
That's right.
Especially if they've lost care that previously they thought they had.
Yeah. Our connection with building up an organization called Lincoln Littles. Mm-hmm. Lincoln Littles does not run a child care center, but what it does is it serves as almost a chamber of commerce mm-hmm. for our early care and education yep. ecosystem. Yep. So that when there are centers that have to close or new centers that are opening, we can help those families mm-hmm. pivot and yeah. find the next thing that might be a good fit for them. Right. We can help providers get the education mm-hmm. and the development and have access to workforce yep. to help them keep their centers open.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a great focus and a great need within our community. And I kind of transitioning there a little bit then, you know, Give to Lincoln Day has grown its impact. I think every year it takes place in May in the Lincoln community every year. I have come to really appreciate the rhythm of this particular process within our community. It's been the synergy that it creates, I think, across nonprofits in Lincoln has been pretty powerful from my perspective. I'm interested in hearing kind of how you feel like the community foundation's been able to leverage that process to have a really healthy impact on a whole lot of organizations.
Sure. It's, you know, I don't know that when we started Give to Lincoln Day 14 years ago, we had any idea that it would grow to be this type of galvanizing force.
I bet.
For our community, and we're certainly grateful, and it's due to the community, due to the folks who are stepping up every year to support their favorite organizations. Last year, we raised more than $9.5 million for about 500 local organizations, wow. and that consists of 27,000 donations. Mm. So, of course, that also represents a lot of work on our side of the house. But
certainly.
What that means is that power of giving together.
Yep.
I mean, that is money coming in May, which is a time when lots of mm-hmm. nonprofits struggle
yep.
because so much of their support comes in towards the
right.
end of the year. And so that was one of the things that we were really intentional about is if we're going to do this, let's do it at a time frame when it can really help those local nonprofits going
That's
into
great.
The summer. Which can be a challenging fundraising time.
Absolutely.
The history is really interesting. We learned a little bit about Giving Days at a conference about 15 years ago. Thought, hey, let's see what we can do in our community. And then put our own little spin on it, you know, raising money for a match fund every
yep.
year. At this point, the match fund is up to about $650,000. And although it's not dollar for dollar, it does leverage, and folks
does.
Really love the idea of getting a little bit more for
yep.
their organizations than
That's
what they
sure.
are able to put in the coffers. So good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, I'm super thankful for those that are on that front end leading, saying, hey, we want to be a part of that matching process. We love this community enough. We know people love match dollars and that's going to help people give. I love the fact that, you know, maybe for those folks that wouldn't normally make a gift to a nonprofit, or they wouldn't necessarily get so busy and just don't even think to do it. That process in May every year gives the space for everybody to have that on top of mind. And if you're at all philanthropic in this community, I would imagine most people are making gifts during that window, at least to some organization that they care about and want to make an impact for.
The nonprofits we hear from tell us the timing is important, and they feel like not only are they getting consistent support from the folks who already know them, but they feel like every year new people are finding them and going on the website to discover some new organization that whose mission is perhaps in their value section and can make that new connection. Yeah. So it's something that our nonprofits really want. They take it and market it and are able to put the spin out there and make sure that people are paying attention.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for what the Community Foundation does through that. I think this community is blessed because of it for sure. And I would imagine you kind of talked about the Community Foundation being a little bit of a glue, kind of linking process for really connecting donors with needs in the community. And part of that's identifying the greatest needs as well. But I would imagine there's times where you, through the work that you guys do, there's an opportunity to see something really just blow up in a good way. You see it just all of a sudden the funding comes in, the connections are made, and it really flourishes. I'd love if you could share an example of where you've really seen a community need get matched with kind of a community of support financially and then really seen something just grow out of that.
Yeah, Scott, I have a timely example that I'd love to share along those lines. It's gotten some play in the media and in the paper in the last week or so. There's a group of nonprofits that have come together and kind of form their own entity in order to combine the things that they do that are similar but are serving different communities. It's called the Cultural Centers of Lincoln Collaborative, and they are. They had four different organizations join together to build a new center that will be the home for those organizations. It includes the Malone Center, El Centro de las Americas, the Asian Community and Cultural Center, and then the Good Neighbor Community Center. All four of them came together, including their childcare programs, their food distribution programs, their job training programs, and are conducting a fundraising campaign and are two-thirds of the way to their ultimate goal, were able to break ground and really celebrate their distinct communities, the distinct work that they do to help new Americans and other folks in our community really connect and get the most and flourish right here in Lincoln, Nebraska. But then they then can get some synergy and work together in a really cohesive manner. It's really exciting.
Super exciting. And I think, you know, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are probably at least somewhat aware, but I know that there's people that live in Lincoln and just maybe because of their natural connections or lack thereof, don't realize just how multicultural our community is. I know anybody that's connected with like an LPS and understands the diversity that exists by language and background within that. But then just, you know, the sheer number of people that find their way to the Lincoln community from a variety of different places and through different programs and just how diverse this community is, even though, you know, somebody like me, I kind of live in my own little world and I might not find my way into that diversity all that often. There certainly is that exists within the Lincoln community.
Well, it's really exciting because, you know, we are such a welcoming community and we celebrate that welcoming, allowing this to be a place where folks can have a fresh start, find great education, great connections in the community, broaden their perspective, and really add value to our communities and help it grow and thrive.
Yeah, that's awesome. And prior to stepping into this leadership role, which thank you for stepping into that, I think you've done a great job of helping step into a need that existed in a space that you loved, wanting to make an impact on a community that's important to you. And I think prior to that, if I'm understanding your role correctly, you really had a chance to walk alongside donors in a very intimate way, helping them discover what the best way was for them to make an impact. And I know there's always things that maybe are trends or new things that are coming out that are kind of best practice tools, that kind of thing. But as you work with donors, like what is your organization seeing as the most popular maybe ways that donors are choosing to leverage the resources that they have to make an impact within the community.
Yes, I definitely have come to this work from the fundraising side of the house, if you will, really helping to connect people with the causes and the with their own personal values and how they can use their financial resources to support those long term. I would say that I really have seen that more advisors, more estate planning attorneys, folks in that field seem to be talking more to their clients about charitable giving.
That's great.
About how connecting with what they want to use their money for,
gotcha.
Not only to support their family or to go on vacations and those types of things, but also because they want to see it do good things in the community. And I think that that conversation's happening more, more and more with folks as they're doing their planning, as they're reflecting on their budgeting, as they're looking at retirement, and what their long-term estate plan might look like.
Right.
They're like, hey, you know, I've supported this organization for many years. You know, what's going to happen later, and how can I make sure that I set aside some resources in a way that makes sense for my family as well? And so I think those conversations are happening more frequently. I think people are pretty savvy. For example, I think that folks of a certain age bracket are getting more accustomed to the idea that, for example, IRAs are probably the best asset for them to use for their charitable giving. I think that's becoming more known, not only giving during their lifetime through qualified charitable distributions that allow them to satisfy their required minimum distribution from their IRA and can help them escape the tax consequences of bringing that into their income, but also that that might be the best asset to use for giving after life as well. And whether it's your church and other organizations that might be important to you, it really makes sense for that to be the asset where charitable giving happens. People get it.
And I think, you know, the Lincoln Community Foundation is one of the vehicles people can use to give through. There's a wide range of possibilities you could end up connecting with. But I think what you said there, that one of the things that's important is working directly, if you have a financial advisor, somebody that's in the estate planning world, most of the people that are doing really good work in that space have a pretty close connection with what you have going on, mostly because it's the most accessible way that the clients that they work with can find ways to make impact within this community. And I think that relationship piece really, really matters.
It really does. And frankly, I mean, pragmatically, if I'm an estate planning attorney, if I can demonstrate to my client who seems to have some charitable inclinations that I have a background in that, or I can link them to an expert in the community who can help them really reflect on their values and how best to activate those, then that is just a loyalty factor that will come into play as we continue connecting.
And I think the other piece to what you said there that I think is really important is that more and more estate planners are and advisors are getting into that space of philanthropy, where I think that 10 years ago, maybe that wasn't the case. We weren't maybe as far down the road on even some of these things like RMDs and the ability to have this impact through some of the those resources that we have. Some of that has really changed a lot in the last 10 years. And I think it's opened up some really cool conversations as those advisors work with their clients.
I just think that folks are kind of sitting back and reflecting and realizing, my gosh, perhaps they never thought they would be in the financial position that they're in.
Absolutely.
They're grateful for the way that their life has played out, for the fact that they have been in such a solid financial position. And gosh, if they can give back and to help others and to help the community thrive in a new way, that can provide as much value as something that they could spend that money on for themselves.
And I think in the kind of the formal estate planning space too, you know, when we went through the course that we went through, one of the things that they helped us to understand, I think very clearly is, you know, say it's a couple that's getting into their 70s, primarily what's on their mind, they start out by saying, are there enough resources here for us to get to end of life?
Absolutely.
Are we going to run out of money? So that some people have a hard time getting past that space. If they have family they care about, then that's kind of the next step most people are in. It's like, hey, what am I doing to bless my family? If they get past those two, there's finally this space they can get into where it's like, okay, what impact might I be able to make with whatever might be left? Now, there are other givers who say, I'm more interested in making an impact first, and they really are focused on their bet, their cause, whatever it is, whatever organization, and that becomes their priority. And then maybe it's almost like a flipped paradigm where then family and really even taking care of themselves sometimes takes a backseat because they're so passionate about those things. But the reality is most people have to get past those first two before they get into that space of, okay, now I think maybe I want to make an impact beyond family even. So, and I imagine at times it's hard to get people over the hump of just, hey, you've got plenty.
Right.
You have plenty. Right. And I've heard some good stories around that.
Absolutely. I think that it can be a really interesting conversation. First of all, there's a measure of trust,
sure.
You know, ensuring that you're getting the information you need to take care of yourself and your family in a way that makes sense.
100%.
But I do think that there's a lot of folks out there who are like, my goodness, we've worked hard our whole lives.
Yep.
We've saved. We've been very frugal and intentional. And gosh, here we are. What are we doing with this,
right.
this amount of money that's been entrusted to us? And how can we make sure that it's being used in a way that reflects what's important to us.
Absolutely. And sometimes getting to that space where they are starting to realize that the vehicles that they have for their saving have some serious tax implications. And that's where having the right advisors around you can really, I think, benefit helping better understand the best way to give those gifts away. So
yes.
As you see, working with families, et cetera, donors specifically, what do you see in that world of motivation? I think sometimes for me, you might have somebody that's giving at a certain level, but when they connect with something, you see like this release that happens and they go to this whole different space of like, I'm passionate. You might add a zero or two zeros or three zeros or whatever that ends up looking like. So when you think about motivation, what do you really see opening doors for people as you work on projects or as you're kind of walking a client through, like trying to get them to the end zone on a certain type of gift or a certain type of project? What does that look like in working with givers?
It really is about, you know, every situation is unique. It's about meeting that person, that couple, that family where they're at, and listening first and foremost to what are the stories that inform the things that they're supporting, the things that they give to right now. And then taking that information and having a sense for what's going on in the community that might reflect their values or reflect the types of projects that are important to them. So it can be a lot of different things. You know, I worked with a gentleman who just passed away a couple of years ago, and he held things pretty close to the vest. Yeah. He was a savvy business person who, you know, had the things that he was supporting every year during his lifetime. And then when he finally decided to sit down with his estate plans and figure out the role that charitable giving would play, it was a discerning process to find the organizations that he wanted to support because he knew that this would be a significant influx of cash for these organizations. Mm-hmm. How do we make it work for their budgets and not be overwhelming?
Yeah.
And so what he did was something pretty unique is he created what we call a term endowment. Okay. It wasn't forever, but it's for over a period of 10 years. That money will be rolled out to 7 different organizations in our community that will receive that gift. They can budget for it. They know it's coming. They can continue to do the good work that they're doing, knowing they'll be receiving the support for a period of time. We can invest, we're investing that money and then it will hopefully grow over time.
Yeah.
And then, and yet it's not something that's tied up forever.
Yeah.
And the organizations can use that to further their work. Really cool stuff because, and it was something that we kind of brainstormed and spitballed and it really resonated with him.
And I think that's what you just described right there is actually the power of a larger community foundation. Like here at Messiah, we've got a foundation that's still, you know, pretty young and pretty small in comparison with a lot of other foundations. And there's opportunities a donor could have within that foundation to establish an endowment, make other gifts for specific purposes, et cetera. But a larger foundation has some backroom resources where they can get creative, get attorneys on staff that can work with tax professionals to make sure they're structuring things in the proper way and really put some pretty cool tools to use, especially for those that have a little bit different capacity, have maybe unique assets that they want to try to share with, you know, their favorite, you know, nonprofit or, you know, the cause that's most important to them. And sometimes it's a matter, like you just said, let's just keep the conversation rolling until we get to a solution that makes sense.
That's right. That's right. And yet it is a spectrum. I mean, as I said, small gifts matter.
Yes, they do.
And, you know, as you're getting into looking at what are the organizations that are important to you, how do I get more involved in charitable giving as I have capacity to do that? Find your passion, volunteer for those organizations, see how they work, do your research, but also trust the organizations that they're going to do what they say they're going to do with the money and that they can employ that in a way that will help them the best. Mm-hmm. Try not to put too many strings on those dollars because that can make it really hard to ensure that they can keep the light bill paid and keep everything functioning as they're doing the important work that they do in the community.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think, as you shared that, it reminded me that every giver is different in terms of their giving philosophy or even maybe where they're at in their giving maturity, the kind of the lifespan of giving. Mm-hmm. A lot of people really get started in giving by, you know, they like to give small gifts to a lot of different places that they see as being worthy causes. Others grew up in the church, like we did, and they are very focused on giving to their church, and maybe that's their focus, and it doesn't go very far beyond that. I'm a firm believer that most people that have a philanthropic heart and that they lean into that already, even in their church, there's some really cool opportunities beyond just what they do within their church to make an impact into the community. And I think the more mature a giver gets, the more research they do, the more they really start to line up with their goals. They start to think bigger picture long-term. And it's really kind of fun to just watch somebody really dig into a specific thing that they're like, hey, God has given me X in resources, and I think I can make this kind of an impact through that ministry or whatever the organization is. And then to sit down and discover that with somebody like yourself or your team or, you know, whatever nonprofit that's out there that they really want to support, that can be a pretty powerful process.
You know, one of the questions that I've often tried to ask as I'm having those discerning conversations with folks is pretty simple. It's just, what do you want to do with your money that is meaningful to you?
Yeah.
And let's get down to brass tacks. Mm-hmm. What does that truly look like?
Yeah.
It's supporting yourself. It's supporting your family, but it also might be supporting some other organizations that, do so many good things in our community.
Yeah. So as somebody that's maybe just starting to get into this space, is there something, you kind of dabbled in this already in one of your previous comments, but how can we encourage people that are maybe they don't think they have much or they just haven't discovered how they can impact within a community, maybe outside their normal circle? So again, maybe they give to church, but they've just never really gone beyond that. What advice would you have for our listeners that are maybe they're feeling tapped on the shoulder and there's an opportunity for them to maybe start getting more involved in other things? What does that look like?
Sure. Really, again, small gifts matter. So try things out, you know, think about what, you know, when your kids were growing up or when you were involved in something through the church, you might have seen a new organization or a new cause. You know, human services are in great need right now. We have some really challenging times for some of our forward-facing nonprofits that are helping our community. And so there are lots of opportunities to explore what they do and how they do it. Mm-hmm. Talk with their leaders about what they're seeing on the ground and what those resources are used for. And ask questions, but also there's a lot of, you know, great information online, great information out there that can show you a lot about what the character of those organizations are and how they do their work.
And I think it probably goes without saying, but we should probably say it out loud. That support doesn't always have to be financial. And sometimes your discovery might be, and I want to volunteer within that organization first to see what it does. And not only have a real impact by physically supporting in some kind of a service capacity, but that actually opens the door then to maybe get more connected and feel like, hey, this is a place I really want to support financially.
I was just talking with someone this morning and she was talking about, you know, with, for example, Special Olympics, it wasn't just about fundraising. It was about friend raising because those events take a lot of volunteers to put on. And there are a lot of examples of that type of on the ground work where you can see what the good is and play a role in it with both your time and your resources.
Yeah. I've had a chance to sit down and talk to a lot of the members that go to the church here at Messiah and hearing their giving stories. And one of the themes that came out, and it's everybody has a very different story, unique story, but one of the themes that came out a fair amount was once I started getting involved at the church, once I got tapped on the shoulder, either to be in a leadership role or on this committee, or we had this project to work on, that their giving changed, that they felt more invested in it. And they felt obligation, probably isn't the right word, but it's like, I'm a partner now and I want to dig in. And I think in the space I live in this organization and really wanting to encourage hearts in that way. You know, that's what I dream about for everybody who considers Messiah their home. I want them to see this ministry that's making an impact, that they're definitely a part of that family. And then they're moved through what God's doing in their life to really want to make an impact and be invested as almost like a partner in the ministry. And not everybody's always on the same place in kind of that journey, but that's my prayer, whether that's here at Messiah or, you know, anybody that's listening, you know, to us on this podcast. It's like, where are you feeling called to leverage what, you know, what God has provided you to make an impact for the world?
If folks can have that ownership, they feel engaged and own ownership. One of the things that I think I enjoy the most, and it's happened, you know, several times over the course of my career, is when folks have made a pretty significant gift, either through their estate or during their lifetime, and they turn to you and they thank you. They thank you because it has brought so much joy to their hearts. Yep. And it really feels like they are being, as you said, they're called to do something that takes them outside of the normal course of their life.
And I think what you just said there is so powerful because that's the journey. I call that the journey of generosity. That's the space that God wants for everyone. He wants you to get into that space where you, through that engagement, through that process, that there's just a release that it's like, I can't believe I get to be a part of this. And to have donors thank you for, hey, thanks for letting me make that $1 million gift.
Exactly.
Like, okay. That's so fun. Well, as we kind of start winding down the show, is there anything, you know, that you maybe want to share with the listeners, any tidbit of wisdom or any encouragement that you might share just in terms of the space you get to serve this community and you know, what might impact them?
Well, first, from a personal level, I would say that having the opportunity to serve and to lead Lincoln Community Foundation, I've been there now for more than 10 years, but I've been in this position now for just over a year. It is truly the professional honor of my lifetime to be a part of this community in an entirely new way and to find new and innovative approaches to connecting people in our community so that the experience that I've had in raising my family here can be everyone's experience.
That's awesome.
And that that means a lot to me, and I'm grateful to be able to share that. But I do think that in terms of giving, in terms of finding our own journeys, our own method of giving back to the world, all you can do is listen to your heart, take some time to reflect, perhaps to pray, and to find your path to what's most meaningful to you.
Yeah, that's powerful. We're going to do just that right now. Heavenly Father, I just thank you and I praise you for the time today with Tracy and for just discovering, you know, what it means to be a part of a community. The fact that within a community, there's always diverse needs and the community as a whole, the members of that community are most appropriately positioned to make an impact and to make change and to make a difference in the lives of those that are part of that community. So Lord, as we have an opportunity as listeners today to really discover where you're calling us to dig in, to lean in, to be supportive of the communities that we're a part of, whether that's the greater Lincoln community or if these listeners aren't here, they're somewhere else around the United States, or even those smaller pockets of communities, the friendships, the churches that we're a part of, the other things that we get a chance to support, Lord. Just releasing us, knowing that even those small gifts matter, getting involved matters, and each one of those is something that can really, really honor what you're doing in our lives. So we thank you in advance, Lord, for how you're going to work through that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Tracy, thank you so much for joining today.
It's been a real pleasure.
It's great to hear what's going on at the Community Foundation. They're so blessed to have you as their leader. And I'm just excited to see what Lincoln's going to do in the future.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
And to our listeners, stop chasing and start living.
Thank you for tuning in to Stop Chasing, Start Living. This has been a production of Messiah Lutheran Ministries. Make sure you subscribe to Messiah Lutheran on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen so you never miss an episode. Want to learn more about Messiah Ministries? Visit us at messiah.us. Our goal is to be a resource to you as you grow in your relationship with Christ and in your generosity. If you would like to connect with Scott, please send an email to scott.ernstmeyer@messiah.us. Thanks again for listening. Now let's start living.